Take your Bible and turn to Romans tonight. Book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, chapter 15. Appreciate that song tonight. And what a Savior. What a Savior we have. Amen. And rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. And I'll tell you, greatest regret I have in life is not getting saved sooner, earlier in life. And, boy, it's good to be saved. If you look with me, though, tonight in Romans chapter 15, I'll not have you stand tonight. Just going to read one verse and just give you what the Lord's given me. And I guess it seems somewhat basic and pretty plain, straightforward, and I don't really plan to be long tonight, but just want to give you what the Lord's given me, and but I pretty much always plan to not be long, so, you know, anyways, but we'll see how it goes, but I just want to give you a thought here and pray that it'll be a blessing, be a help to us tonight. Sometimes these basic foundational truths, these are sometimes the ones that can be the most overlooked, and they're the ones that we tend to struggle with the most sometimes. And I tell you, when you get the foundational truths firmly laid and settled in your heart and get these things worked out, a lot of other things in life tend to just fall into place. And so if you look with me in Romans chapter 15, and if you look in verse number 4, of course, the Apostle Paul is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to the church that is in Rome. And many of the greatest doctrines for the church you'll find in the book of Romans. And it's a very, very deep book. A lot of doctrine in the book of Romans. And if you look in verse number, chapter 15, verse 4, just a little simple, straightforward verse, he says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And so he's talking about the Scriptures here, talking about the Word of God, and he says they are written for our learning. And so I want to preach for just a few minutes what the Lord just given to me tonight on what your Bible is for. Why you have a Bible. Why God gave us a Bible. What your Bible is for. And so let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight. I thank you for letting us be in your house. And Lord, I thank you for what's been done throughout the day, all the singing and the praying, and Lord, the giving, and just the good time of fellowship you've given us both this morning and tonight. And Lord, I pray that you would help us now as we've come to this time of preaching. Lord, everything's been good so far, but Lord, we need your help in this hour. And so Lord, I pray that you would help us to preach the Word of God in a way that would be pleasing unto you. Lord, I pray that you would take over and take control. Lord, I give myself to thee. And Lord, I pray that you would set a watch over my lips. Help me, Lord, to not say anything that would grieve the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I pray that I would say everything that you would have me to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray, Lord, that it would just be exactly what you would have it to be. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight. Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be amongst us. I pray that you would speak to their heart. Lord, show them their lost condition, the hell they're going to, the judgment they're under. That they might cry out to a Savior and be saved. Lord, I pray for those of us that are your people and saved tonight, that you would, Lord, do a work in our heart and our life. Help us, Lord, to love our Bibles. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to have the discipline. And Lord, help us to, Lord, to be drawn into your Word. And Lord, to hide your Word in our heart in these days. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Apostle Paul here, of course, again, writing. And he says, talking about, he says in verse 4, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for your learning." Very straightforward, very obvious. Doesn't take a commentary and you don't have to read a stack of books and hear a bunch of preaching to figure out what he's talking about. I mean, it's pretty plain, pretty obvious. He says the things that were written aforetime, they're written for your learning. And the things that are written aforetime that he's talking about really in this passage is the Old Testament. That's really what he's talking about. He didn't even have a New Testament at this time. And so, matter of fact, as he's writing this letter to that church, that is the New Testament being written. Amen? And so these people that he's writing to, and the Apostle Paul, and the other apostles, and the disciples, and the early church, they did not have what you have tonight. And so as he talked about the things that were written aforetime, he's talking really about the Old Testament here, but what he says in our day now applies to the entire Bible because it's all Scripture. And that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Scripture. That's what he says at the end of the verse, that we may have comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so he's talking about the Scriptures. At that time, the only Scriptures they had were the Old Testament. But now, in our day, we've got a fulfilled, a complete Bible, a fulfilled Word of God, the full Scriptures. And so he's talking about the Word of God that you hold in your hand. And he is telling us that it is written for our learning. You know, the only way you can even begin to scratch the surface of learning and education is to know what God says and to know what God would have us to know. You know, the Bible is not everything God could have told us, but is everything He wanted to tell us. It's everything He needed to tell us. Amen? He boiled it down to what we needed to know and what He wanted to know, and it is written for our learning. The very pinnacle of learning and education is what is found in the Scriptures. Amen? Listen, I am 101,000% in favor of young people that are coming out of school and graduating and don't really know what to do with their life and don't really know what direction to go. And if they're unsure and they don't know, I am 1,000% in favor of them finding some good Bible college classes or some type of Bible institute and taking Bible classes in place of going to a public university to figure out what they want to do with their life. Because I'm here to tell you, this Bible will reveal to you what you need to do with your life a whole lot quicker and a whole lot better than some liberal professor at a public university. Amen? I'm telling you, I went to college right out of high school, and I thought I knew what I wanted to do. I was lost at the time, and I knew I was, you know, running from God, and I knew I was going, well, I knew all that stuff in my head, but, you know, I went, and I tell you, for like three semesters, for a year and a half, up until I got saved, I'll tell you exactly what I did. I wasted time, wasted money, wasted time, because I was running from God, doing what I wanted to do, and it got me nowhere, amen? And so for young people who are saved and just don't know what to do with life, listen, I'm in favor of just either sitting in your home church or just learning the Bible and immersing yourself in the Word of God and the will of God. Or if you're going to do something, take some college classes or Bible. I'm for that for anybody. Amen. I mean, you can't learn the Bible enough. Amen. And it's for our learning. It instructs us on the most important matters of life. Amen. You know, you can always go get training and figure out how you can always learn a trade. You can always do that. You can get to any place in life and you can always go learn a trade. You can learn how to be an electrician. You can learn how to be a plumber. I mean, you can always learn that at any point in time. You can always learn how to do some new trade or some new thing. I mean, just pick up YouTube. You can find out how to just do about anything now. But I'm going to tell you what's really going to instruct and direct your life, both young and old, at any place in life, what's really going to give you the right direction in life is this Bible. What's in this Bible. And I know that's very basic. And I know that's something we all know. But we need to be reminded that the most important issues in life, the answers will be found in the Bible. If you want to know what kind of man you need to marry, Kaylee and Kelby, you'll find the answers in the Bible. And if you want to know what kind of wife you need to be, ladies, and when you get married, Kaylee and Kelby, I'm just coming back to you, and I don't know why. You're just right there. If you want to know what kind kind of wife you need to be? You'll find the answer in the Bible. If you want to know what kind of husband you need to be, what kind of husband God wants you to be, men, you'll find the answers in the Bible. If you want to know how to be blessed and have a blessed home, you'll find the answers in the Bible. If you want to know how to run your finances and how to be financially responsible and be a good steward of what you have, you'll find the answers in the Bible. There is no question in life that God does not answer in the Bible. Now, it may not be direct. You may not be praying about something in your life and open the Scriptures and God say, "Thou shalt do this," or "Thou shalt not do that." I mean, you know, but the principles will always be found in the Bible. They are written for your learning. For your learning. And that is the very pinnacle of learning. The very pinnacle of education is found in the Scriptures. Now, if you ignore the Bible, and if our society ignores the Bible, and if any institute of learning would ignore the Bible, you'll simply wallow in ignorance in the most important matters of life. You know where we are in our society today? We're at a place now where men and women both are ever learning. Ever learning. We are in the information age. There is just about nothing you cannot learn now. Every special skill that I have, I learned it just from typing and looking up on Google or looking up on YouTube and finding a video how to do it. Listen, if you need to learn how to check the freon in your car, go on YouTube, look at them. There's a video out there. It'll walk you step by step how to do it. If you want to learn how to do anything, I mean, there is step by, you can learn anything. And not even in just things like that. I'm talking about book smarts, math and science and all those things. We are in a day of learning. And the brilliance is obvious. I mean, look around. I mean, look at the feats that humans have done and the things that mankind has. I mean, it's obvious that we're in a day of learning and a day of education and all those things. But I'll tell you where we're at. We're in a day of learning, and men are ever learning, but they are simply never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, how would it feel to live our whole lives having learned so much and yet never having any knowledge? That's what the Bible says. I mean, it is possible. It's possible to have degrees. It's possible to have multiple degrees. It's possible to have degrees heaped up on top of degrees. It's possible to have all type of learning and accolades and all types of skills and know how to do all kinds of things and be very learned in many different areas, be it book smarts or street smarts, so to speak. I mean, it's possible to learn so much and yet get to the end of life and realize that you have no knowledge. None whatsoever. The knowledge of the truth. Amen. That's the day that we are in. And so to ignore the Bible is to wallow simply in ignorance. Here we see three specific areas in this verse. Three very specific areas, actually, that Paul points out, where there are areas of learning that we gain from the Scriptures. Now, this is not exhaustive. This is just three simple little ones right here in this verse. But all down through human history, you know who the greatest inventors in the history of the world have been? They've been Christian men, Christian women. Men and women that believe God. Jews, yeah. And what about men like George Washington Carver? Men like that. Thomas Edison. Those are all men that feared God. I mean, they may not have been saved, but they feared God. And so, you know, the Bible talks about how the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And the fool would reject the Word of God. Amen. There's been so many inventions and so many things that have changed the course of human history simply because somebody read a verse or thought about a verse and applied it where it should have been applied, and it changed the course of human history. We've seen that in the medical field. Seen that in many different areas where the Bible has corrected man. And we see three areas right here, three specific areas of learning which we gain, and you will gain from reading your Bible. You'll gain it from your Scriptures. The first one, it says, look at the verse. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience," he goes on to say, "in comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." But the first one he says is patience. Now, one of the greatest things that you could ever learn in life is patience. Now, that's not something you can learn in a college class. And it's not something you can learn with a degree. And it's not something you can learn with on-the-job training. But you can learn it in the Scriptures. The Bible will teach you patience. And listen, you're not going to learn patience by watching a YouTube video. You're not going to learn patience by reading a news article. Only the Bible can teach you patience. And if you will get into your Bible, and if you will read your Bible, you will learn patience. Let me tell you something. Impatience has wrecked a lot of people's lives. Impatience has destroyed a lot of, you know, great companies. I'm talking about from the business aspect. Impatience has destroyed and wrecked a lot of people's finances, wrecked a lot of people's marriages, wrecked a lot of people's careers, impatience has. Impatience. Listen, it doesn't matter how smart you are or how smart any of us are in terms of learning education. If we don't have patience, man, you're not going to make it far in life. Amen. And you're certainly not going to make it far in the things of God. But the Bible, the Scriptures, will teach you patience, and few things are more needed for mankind than patience. See, patience is a virtue of great value, and none of us have enough of it. We could all use a little more patience. Amen. And if you think you've arrived patient with, in terms of patience, I'll send them three boys home with you tonight, and you'll find out you still got a little ways to go. Amen. Because they've certainly shown me that I have a little ways to go. Amen. Amen. If you think you've arrived in terms of patience, I'll let you pastor the church for a while. Amen. I'll let you do the preaching. Hey, listen, we'll all find out that and we can all say that about different things. Miss Wilson would say, if you think you've learned patience, I'll let you fix some of the hair that I fix. Amen. We could all say that about different areas of our life. The fact is that we all need patience. And we need more of it. And the place we're going to find it, the place where God and the Holy Spirit's going to work that into our heart, work that into our life, work it into our mind, because it's as much a mind thing as it is anything else. The place you're going to get it is in the Scriptures. You can learn it from the Scriptures. Patience is a learned skill or virtue, if you will. It is. None of us were born as patient as we are now. Which is hard to believe, because there's some adults that are mighty impatient. But no one's born with patience. Little children, they want what they want, and they want it now. Gideon's been talking about going on vacation for like a month now. And it's always tomorrow is when we're going. For the past 4 weeks, we're going to the beach tomorrow. He's not saved yet, and so he thinks we're going to the beach. When you get saved, you go to the coast, right? And so, I mean, and so anyways. But, you know, for the 4 weeks now, it's always been going to the beach. And it's impatience. I want to go right now. You know how that is. Little kid, they'll get in their head. You know, you're busy doing something, and I mean right then. I want to go to Mimi's house. You're right in the middle of doing something. I want to go to Mimi's house right now. We don't think that way because we can't go. We're doing what we're doing. But we're all born with that. And that will carry on into our life as we continue to go and continue to grow up. We'll just be impatient. And that's the society. That's the generation we're in. The fast food generation. Chris Simpson calls it the hot pocket generation. Amen. We're not in the crock pot generation. We're in the hot pocket generation. Amen. We want to put it in for a minute and a half, and ding, it's done and it's ready to go. Amen. We don't want to wait for it to cook all day long, right? All night long. We want to just want it right then. But the place you're going to learn that is the Scriptures, because, you know, the more we get into the Scriptures and the more we study earnestly, the better we will learn patience. And here's why. Because the Bible puts things, the most important things in life, into perspective for us. It causes us to realize that we don't have to have some things right now. Now, the flesh tells us that. You got to have it right now. And the world tells us that. You got to have it right now. And the devil tells us that. You got to have it right now. Tell you what, the devil can't get you to just outright quit following the Lord. He'll try to get you to get ahead of God. Amen. And that's as bad as not following at all, is getting ahead of him. Getting ahead and doing things your way and making a big mess. Not waiting on him. And so patience, it puts life, the matters of life, into perspective and just makes you realize that, you know, I really don't have to have that right now. God is not a God of time. He's above time and beyond time and works outside the confines of time. But He is a God of timing. We don't understand that. We don't understand how God can work outside the realm of time. But He's not bound by time. God isn't. He's been from eternity's past and He'll be for eternity's future. I mean, He just is, you know. But see, our life works on a timetable and God works outside of that. But when it comes to me and you, He is a God of timing. And the Bible will help us to learn about God's timing. It'll help us to see others who have waited on God's timing, how God has worked in His timing, and how some way, somehow, He will always bring to pass and unfold His plan for our life in the right time. And you'll find that in the Scriptures. God will take that and put it in your mind, help you to realize how to be patient in life. See, the world pushes impatience. That's how advertising works. You got to have it right now. This sale ends today, right? This deal is only good for today. You got to buy it right now. You got to do it right now. But God says, wait. Just wait. Brother Chris Simpson preached out of Ruth this past week, and he preached a message out of Ruth talking about whenever Ruth was there, and God was bringing everything together with her and Boaz, you know. And he preached a message on don't just do something, sit there. We usually say the opposite. Don't just sit there, do something. God says don't just do something, sit there. Wait on God, be patient, and He will bring it to pass. So patience. Look in the verse. Look back to the verse. Now, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So the first thing is patience. This next thing we find here in this verse is comfort. He said the comfort of the Scriptures will give us hope. Now, we all probably can agree, and you'll be able to say amen right here, that we won't find much comfort in the world today. I mean, especially the past year and a half, 2 years, there's not been a lot of comfort to be found. I mean, it's trouble on every hand, and you know, so many, I mean, just like a running count. I mean, when any other time in human history has there been a running count of how many people have died every day, you know, just before everybody all the time? I mean, isn't that weird how that is? I mean, you go to any news website, you go to WTVA or WCBI or whatever, and I check them just from time to time, and the first thing right at the very top, big red letters, big red numbers, how many deaths today? How many deaths yesterday? Well, that's not good news, is it? Yeah, I mean, it's every day. It's a running total. This many more. Let me just tell you, that's been going on for a long time. People have been dying every day for a long time and will continue to. And I mean, if they're really serious about mankind's well-being, they ought to put the alcohol deaths, the running total of that, because that's like the number two killer in the whole world is alcohol, you know. I mean, you know, they ought to put the heart disease deaths. I mean, that's been going on for forever. They ain't found a vaccine for that yet. But you know, it's just, you're not going to find any good news. You're not going to find comforting things. It is so rare to watch the news or hear a comforting news story. hear good news, right? It's always the plane crash. It's always the car crash. It's always this, that, or the other. It's something terrible. And so we all probably could agree that we're not going to find much comfort in this world, but the Scriptures will give us comfort in the roughest places in life, friend. In the deepest valleys, in the darkest nights, when you get in your Bible, some way, somehow, the Lord always has something for you that will get down into the corridors of your soul, and that balm of Gilead will get to work down in your soul like nothing else will work, friend. And the Word of God is what will do it. You'll find comfort in the Scriptures. Amen. Listen, God's people of all people ought not be losing our minds in these days like everybody else is. Why? Because we've got a Bible that we ought to be reading every day. Amen. We ought to be in our Bible. God's people ought to be in the Word of God. And Paul, straightforward, plain as day, don't have to study Greek. He says right here, comfort of the Scriptures. The Scriptures are comforting to us. Listen, if you want to get a real reality check in these crazy days, if you want to really get grounded and get down to earth and really know what's going on, really going on in the world, don't watch the news, man. Don't watch the news. Don't read Facebook. Don't look at all that. If you want to know what's really going on, if you want to know what's really up to date, get in your Bible, friend. And it won't have you trying to find somewhere to hide. It won't have you looking for somewhere some foreign, island to get away from everybody. And it won't have you freaking out and scared to death. The Bible will ground you. It'll put life into perspective. You'll realize we're just here for a little while. We're just passing through. God's going to protect us. God's going to meet us or meet our needs while we're here. And then while we're over there too, God is in control. And you'll find comfort in the Word of God. You'll find out what's really going on. You ever think about the fact that down through the years, I mean, all down through history, how many sick folk have laid in a hospital bed somewhere or laid on their deathbed, and they've asked somebody to sit by their bed and read the Scriptures? You ever think about how many people have laid in a sick bed and they're going through a terrible sickness or a terrible trial or a terrible time, and they want somebody to just read the Scriptures? Oh, they're not asking anybody to read the newspaper. Don't ask them to read the works and the literature of man, but they ask somebody to read the Bible. I remember whenever Brother Ballou was dying of cancer, and there were a lot of people that were going to visit him and see him and things like that, both when he was in the hospital and when he was home. But I remember a lot of different times seeing pictures of Brother Ballou laying on the hospital bed, I guess really what would be his deathbed, with that Bible laid on his chest. And he'd just lay there, and he'd have his eyes closed, and he'd be holding that Bible. And I can remember seeing pictures and videos and hearing of people coming by and just reading the Bible to him. And just what a blessing, what a help it was to him. Because I'm telling you, nothing will bring comfort in your life like the Bible. And I don't even know how it happens all the time. I just know that God always helps comfort us with the Scriptures. Amen. God does that. And so we find patience is learned through the Scriptures. We find that comfort is learned in the Scriptures. God's Word will salve your soul and comfort a broken heart. But then last of all, look at what he says. He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That we might have hope. And the only real hope to be found in this life and in this world is going to be found in the Scriptures. It's going to be found in your Bible. You know, this world, it just like the comfort. I mean, it doesn't give comfort, and certainly doesn't give any hope either. I mean, it's like a hopeless situation. That's why, you know, the suicide rate and things like that. It's all climbing. That's why alcoholism's getting worse. That's why drug addiction is getting worse. That's why so many things are getting worse as we go. They're not getting better. They're getting worse. The reason is because man finds no comfort out there, and he certainly finds no hope out there. Matter of fact, most of the world is totally hopeless. Amen. They're hopeless. As far as they're concerned, there is no God. It's been educated out of them. And so we're just here. We're just floating through this life, and we'll just live, and we'll just die, and there's nothing to us and nothing to this life. And people are just miserable, empty, and hopeless. But you know what the Bible will do? The Bible will give you great hope in the midst of the worst circumstances and trials in your life. It'll give you hope. Some way, somehow, whenever somebody's lost a loved one, or when somebody's going through something terrible or gotten awful news, some way, somehow, if they'll get in their Bible, God will give them something through the Scriptures. And I've had them do it in my life so many times, more times than I can count. Some way, somehow, He'll take some verse that I've read 1,000 times. And I'll read it again. The Holy Spirit will say something in my heart that He's never said before. He'll cause me to see something in that verse, or see something in that passage, or see something in that book that I've never seen before. And it applies directly to my situation. And it gives me hope that I never had before. Hope in a hopeless situation. Only the Scriptures can do that. See, the Bible will give us hope for our past. For the man that's lost and looking at his past and seeing how bad and how terrible he's been, the Bible will give us hope. Give that man hope. For the Christian that's had a terrible past, the Bible will give you hope. The Bible will give us hope for our present as we look around and see all the things that are going on and see what trials we're in right now. The Bible will give us hope in those things and make us realize that God's in control of those things. The Bible will give us hope for our future and realize that there is always a brighter day coming. No matter how dark it gets, there's a brighter day coming. There is going to come a dawn, be it in this life or if Jesus comes back, or heaven forbid we die and go to heaven. Amen. There's always hope in the future, right? But you find that in the Scriptures. You always find it in the Scriptures. See, if you really want hope in your life, you know what you got to do? You got to go to the Bible. You got to go to your Bible. And I could read you dozens. I could quote you dozens of Scriptures tonight that would back up and talk about exactly what we're talking about tonight. The Bible giving us hope. The Bible helping to educate us regarding patience, regarding comfort, regarding hope. Now, I know this is a very basic message, and this is a very basic thought, but you need to be in your Bible. You need to be in your Bible. You don't have to read it all every week. And you don't really have to read it cover to cover every day, every week, or even every month. Sometimes people, you know, we look at the Bible and there's so many pages and there's so much and it can be overwhelming. You think, well, where do I start? Well, just start at the beginning. You say, well, man, I'm not reading very much. Listen, a little bit's more than nothing. A little bit's more than nothing. You know, you can read through your Bible every year. And you only have to read like 3 chapters a day or something like that. It's not even that much. I know most Bibles, I have found this to be a case in study Bibles and non-study Bibles, most Bibles, you can read 5 pages a day. 5 pages. And you'll read through your Bible in a year. Most Bibles. Sometimes it varies a little bit depending on what Bible and how many pages are in it, but most Bibles, you can read through them 3 to 5, 6 pages a day. And you know, you ought to commit to do that. If you're not reading through your Bible, you're not going to have patience. And you're certainly not going to find comfort. If you take in 8 hours, the radio and TV and media a day, you're not going to be comforted. You're going to be losing your mind. Take in all that and lay aside your Bible. We were at this meeting this past week, and me and a very, very good preacher friend of mine, if I called his name, you'd know him, but it doesn't matter. We were talking, and I asked him, I said, brother, which, you know, for all of us, there's a lot of spiritual people that we know that we would just say, you know, when you think of a spiritual person, we've all got somebody that comes to our mind, some preacher or something. We just say, well, they're real spiritual. Well, they're just full of God. And I was talking to this preacher, I was talking to this friend. And in my mind, this man is a very spiritual man. He's a good, close friend of mine, tremendous preacher. I said, "Brother, you know, you're very spiritual to me. I believe that you are. And I want to know, you know," I said, I really want to be spiritual. I want to be very, very spiritual. You know, I think about these men and days gone by, the men that we talk about, the people that we talk about, both men and women, who were just so full of God and just had God's touch on their life, and men who had God's touch on their preaching, and God's people who just had God. It's not always preachers, it's lay people too, just had God's touch on their life. We all know people like that. And I said, "Brother, you're one of those for me." I said, "I so desperately want to be spiritual. I want to be full of God." I said, "What would you say to somebody like me who wants to be spiritual? You know, what is the key? What makes you spiritual? What makes these other men spiritual? What makes people spiritual?" He thought for a second. He said, "Well," he said, "man, I guess the only thing that really just comes to my mind is just being filled with the Scriptures. Of course, having a prayer life, and that's part of it too." But he said, "You know, every man that I read after who are filled with the Scriptures or who are filled with the Holy Spirit and seem like God really used, they're always so filled with the Scriptures." He said, "Even like men like Brother Ballou," and we talked about him a minute ago, "even men like Brother Allen, men like that, they have a prayer life and they pray." Brother Allen was always known for his prayer life, but you know, he was also so full of the Scriptures. Always in the Word all the time. And God blessed them. And God used them. And God empowered them. He said, this preacher I was talking to, he said, in the men, talking about the men that he read after, he said George Mueller. He said he once read that George Mueller, who was a great man of God, great man of prayer. And he's always noted for his prayer. By the way, if you've never read George Mueller's autobiography, you need to get it and read it. It's only like maybe 200 pages. It's not a very big book. It's a small book. You ought to get it and read it. God worked in his life. He's a tremendous man of prayer. And he's always noted for his prayer, but something that a lot of people don't know is that George Mueller read the Bible. And this preacher named the number. It was over 200 times. It's like 240-something times, if I'm not mistaken, in his life. Over 200 times he read the Bible through in his life, being filled with the Scriptures. See, we're going to learn patience, we're going to learn comfort, we're going to learn hope, we're going to learn all those things. But I tell you, the Bible's going to teach us how to learn, going to teach us how to walk with God. Learn how to walk with God. Learn what He expects. Learn to, just like we said this morning, not to try to get Him to bless what we're doing, but you'll learn how to do what He's blessing. You learn how to get with His program and learn how to fall in line with Him so that He will bless what we're doing and bless our lives. We'll get that from the Scriptures. You just need to be in your Bible. You need to be reading it every day. Even if it's not a lot, you need to read it. You need to read to understand. Not just read through it, not just to go through the Bible. You need the Bible to go through you. Read it slow and read it to comprehend and read it to understand. Even if it's only a chapter, if you can read it and understand it and get it into you and meditate upon it. You need to read to hear from God. You need to bathe your mind and your life in the Scriptures. And I'm telling you right now, God will change your life. If you're not already doing this, God will change your life. God will cause you to think of things and cause you to cause things to come into your mind that were simply not there before. David said, he talked about hiding the Word of God in our hearts that we might not sin against Him. The only way to know that we're not sinning against God is to know what God expects. Know what to do so that we don't sin, so that He can bless us. And friend, that is what your Bible is for. It is for your learning that you may know God. We need to be in our Bibles. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace tonight, this evening. I want to thank you for helping us with the message. I pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, for really all of us, Lord, even myself included, Lord, I pray that you would convict us. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, help us, Lord, to be right with you in regards to our Bible. Lord, this is the greatest treasure that man has ever had. God, you've given us a Bible, and Lord, many people don't have one. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to love it and help us to treasure it and help us, Lord, to immerse ourselves in it, Lord, that we may learn, that we may know you. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. And Lord, I pray for anyone here, Lord, that's not simply not read their Bible like they should, not been consistent as they should. Lord, I pray that they'd get on an altar tonight and do business with you. Lord, I pray that we'd get right with you. Lord, it is a sin to not read the Bible. Lord, you've given it to us and you've blessed us with it. Lord, it'd be a sin not to read it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be right with you. And Lord, more importantly, I pray that you'd help us to dedicate ourselves and discipline ourselves, Lord, that we may walk with you through the Scriptures, that we may read the Word of God, we may learn of you in your Word. Lord, I thank you again for helping us. I pray that you'll bless down the altar call, help us to respond in a way that'd be pleasing to you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's